welcome to my podcast where I invite you to run with me after memories and shape them into stories. On this show, I'll also share samples of my writing and interesting moments from everyday life. I'm your host, Ruru Sig, and you're listening to my podcast, The Story Chaser. Hello out there, and welcome back to The Story Chaser podcast. This is season 3, episode 3 of... Wait, is that right? Hold on, I gotta check. Okay, I actually just had to pull my phone out, sign in to my podcast, and make sure I was on episode 3 of season 3. That's how long it's been since I've launched something. Wowza. It matters. And then it doesn't matter, and then it does. What the heck? Don't I know my own show? Wow. Anyone relate? Hey, you know what you can do is call my voicemail at 312-857-4625. That's the number to the show. And a good opportunity for me to remind you that I do have a voicemail. Very fun for the listeners to call. Leave your stories. Constructive criticism, what have you. It's 12:20 at night. I have been sitting here writing and editing since 8 p.m. at night. I'm very tired. I should be in bed, but darn it, I wanted to get something in the can, as they say here, and I want to see this thing through. So the fate of my staff that I manage, like, their day tomorrow depends on how well this episode goes. If I don't finish it and I'm just up late for no reason or just a vacant reason, an unfinished reason, they will all be punished by my crabby attitude. But if I get it done, it'll be a great day for everyone. Isn't that fair? Back to the voicemail. That's the number. It's also listed at the bottom of the episode, like in a little fine print footnote type thing. I thought it would be fun if I shared a couple of voicemails tonight because I want to get better at doing that, not just storing them away in some virtual mailbox out there in the world. You guys should be hearing them. That's what it's there for. So let's do that.
Hey, Ruru. I just wanted to share a little tidbit after listening to your latest podcast, Feed Your Other Life, and I thought it was appropriate. Little play on words because it has to do with food. This is actually something that I heard during a recent sermon, and because you touched on the 12 points towards the end of your episode about knowledge and wisdom, I thought I would share. This is what it said in the sermon. Knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. But wisdom is knowing not to put that in your fruit salad. Have a great night.
Okay, I love that. Thank you, thank you. That is every bit of delightful. And, I'm just sitting here so touched. I really appreciate that voicemail. And I appreciate you tuning in, loyal listener. And I hope you continue to. I hope to hear from you again. Okay, that went well. Let's see how the next one goes, guys. I got another voicemail, and here it is.
Oh, ho, ho. Merry Christmas. It's Santa Legal Claus. And there's a legal clause stating that you have to pay taxes on your podcast equipment. Ho, ho, ho! Santa Legal Claus doesn't give you anything. He takes. And that's what I'm hired to do. I will take your equipment and your apartment because you're using it as a place of business to run a radio podcast. And we will tax you until you are very, very poor. We will take your equipment and put it in a warehouse where it will be of no use or enjoyment to anybody. Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas! Be seeing you soon! I've already been in your apartment. I stepped in through the chimney. I'm there a lot, looking at stuff that I can tax and take. Tax and take. Tax and take. Ho, 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 ho!
That is that is one of the most disturbing I'm gonna do a little two-parter as far as my process here goes, and I'm gonna shut it down for the night. Try to get that out of my head. I'm going to go to bed. I'm going to pick this up tomorrow and continue the episode then. Wow. Okay. I got some rest after that. Santa Legal Claus, or whomever you are, I don't have any taxable income from the Story Chaser podcast yet, so no reason to call and terrify me anymore. You can rest your thoughts. You can just move right on, please. For anyone else, the phone number to the show is 312-857-4625. Give me a call. Tell me your stories, your constructive criticism, feedback, any little tidbit about life. I love it. I welcome it. For tonight's episode, I chose a chunk of a much larger essay from the food and beverage industry section of my future book. This is about when you're trusting, when you want to do good, and sometimes that'll turn on you in life. Now, it's not an overall lesson. I'm not trying to say don't be kind out there, but every once in a while, darn it, we are a little too kind and our guard is let down. And that's what this piece is about. I'm going to get right into it. The restaurant industry, where it's cigarettes for breakfast and coffee for dinner, where dreams are on the back burner and serving the public a real mixed bag of nuts, is an every night adventure, sometimes even dangerous. He was in a little over a month and wore the same white t-shirt with tears scattered about, hanging over navy sweatpants to every shift. He was only in his mid-20s, but carried a rough existence of many more years on his weathered-down face. He was an average height, dark hair, thin, but built strong in his upper body. His name was Tyler, and like most dishwashers at this restaurant, he just arrived with no explanation. Tyler mentioned how he bounced from friend's couch to friend's couch with layovers of halfway houses in between. Yet, he had no consistent place he called home. He talked excessively and banged the pots and pans around the way one would if fighting off a wild animal attacking. His work area had constant visitors who never stayed long. We popped around the corner, discarded some dirty dishes, and turned back to the chaos of serving the dinner rush in a full restaurant. He tried to talk to every person, but we rarely had time to engage or stay long in his steamy, damp corner. It was a drop-and-run kind of area. His desperate attempts, like, hey, look at this crack in this dish, or Hey, do you like the song playing? I love it. Were the ups of his mood swings. It stopped shocking us when a few hours passed and another part of him said things like, I hate all of you. I hate this place. With the roar of the wash cycle swishing around as he lowered the door closed on his dish machine. Part of his job was to take the garbage out as well. He would drag the bag across the floor and slam the back door shut on his way to the alley. I imagined he would sling it over his shoulder into the dumpster while cursing each one of our names. Whatever was going through his blood, additive or natural, definitely gave us a few guys in one, ranging from overly pleasant to ranting monster. But he kept his job as long as he showed up. Being a dishwasher is not easy, and my hat's off to you all. I'm probably just going to join one of those unions, he told me once as I placed a few bar glasses down for him to wash. Now there you go, I said. It's good to have goals. He smiled and then picked up another plate to spray before loading it into the dish machine. Hey, don't encourage his crazy ass, another server scolded me. But I wasn't delusional. I didn't need her unsolicited advice. The track marks on his arm, covered in speckled carrots, told me he wouldn't piss clean for any union job anyway. But I understood the kid in a way. I understood the announcement to anyone that would listen. I stood behind the bar, shaking martinis, while saying things like, I promise not to forget any of you once I'm published. Sometimes, even if we are talking to ourselves, it feels good to dream of any place other than where we are actually at. And as for Tyler, I mean, what harm could it cause to show a little kindness? Once I returned to the bar, I saw a new ticket hanging from my printer. It read old-fashioned. While placing my muddler next to the rocks glass, I remembered I didn't have any oranges handy. I would need to make a trip to the basement walk-in cooler. After taking a quick look at other supplies needed, I made a short mental list and let my customers know I would be right back. The placement of the oranges right beside the inside of the door was convenient. I grabbed three and was certain to shut the cooler door behind me by bumping it with my rump. The oranges rolled around in my apron I held by the corners, a makeshift pouch to ensure their security heading back up the stairs. Once I reached the top, I pulled them out and mounted all three in one hand and walked to dry storage. Dry storage was in the back of the restaurant, behind the kitchen and manager's office. It was the most quiet area of the building. Sound cut completely, actually. It had served me well as a place I frequented to count tips or indulge a piece of stolen turtle pie that often gave me brain freeze from shoving it in my mouth with my bare hands mid-shift, while hiding amongst the shelves of plastic goods. There were two rows that held our supplies. I knew I needed straws, so I would go to the second, being the furthest one away. I scanned over pint containers neatly stacked on their sides, next to styrofoam to-go containers until I saw the box of stirrer straws. I slid one out with my free hand. Securing the straws under my arm, I picked a pack of plastic pint containers. The whole thing would work out just fine as long as the sleeve containing the pints didn't bust open on the bottom, sending them bouncing to the floor, which happened often in the past. I turned the corner and jerked my head back. Tyler was standing there, blocking the aisle. Keep in mind, he had no supplies for his job, no reason to be back in dry storage. His face was expressionless and it unsettled me. I took a step forward and a slide to my right, but he didn't budge. His wordless message conveyed was that he was indeed blocking me in, but not playfully. I've actually never loved that common game people play where they don't let you pass. It's never good timing, no matter the situation. By the way, I also don't love the game where people reach out and try to grab any cash that I'm counting in my hands. Yeah, I hate that one. Anyway, Tyler wasn't playing. My instincts had me adding up everything that was bad about this. We were in the deep back of the restaurant. No one could hear us. And I felt his energy exuding ill intentions. And I immediately shifted my eyes for openings, like under his legs. And I looked for the nearest potential weapon. Sound crazy? Well, it might if you are not a woman. And I'm guessing, if you are, then you're nodding in unison with me right now. Neither option presented itself to me. Tyler started tugging on his t-shirt with his pruned hand near the collar, almost slow motion tearing it away from himself. He stretched it and moved his head around in circles. Was he deciding something in his mind? Was he fighting some urge? I began to sweat and hoped that the server, needing the old-fashioned, would get impatient enough to come looking for me. It was intense and strange. We stared at each other, my breath rapid as I did my best to conceal how afraid I suddenly was. To this day, I don't know where it came from, but a question blurted from my lips as unfitting as the situation I was in. "Hey, Tyler." And then my voice wavered. Do you know how to juggle?" His eyes brightened in seconds as he stepped back shocked. He yelped, placing his hands to his head flat, and answered, I can't believe you just asked me that. I love to juggle." I cautiously handed over the three mounted oranges glistened with my sweat as he snatched them from my hand. He began gleefully juggling them into the air while walking backwards to show off a little more. Eventually, there was enough room for me to shimmy past him to the sweet freedom of the open floor space about 20 feet away. The oranges danced in circles between his hands, and he was good. He was pretty great at juggling. And if my life didn't just feel threatened seconds before, I would have told him so. But he didn't need me to. He was enamored enough with his own performance, laughing. Instead, I stood resenting him through pursed lips, still processing how I struck a lucky chord with this lunatic. I offered half a smile and asked him to toss those oranges back to me one at a time. They fell into my apron, held by my free hand, and I hurried back to the bar. More tickets had printed, and my customers had half-filled glasses at that point. I put my supplies down and offered my best apology. "Sorry, everyone. I was cornered and had to juggle my way out of something." This is as good a place as any to end this episode. My name is Ruru Sig, and I thank you for listening to The Story Chaser. Remember, there are stories everywhere. The key is to focus in on the little memories to find the bigger moments. My promise to you is that I'll keep chasing those stories. Be well, folks, and go ahead. Have a wonderful life.